Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24, and reading through verse 28. And today I want to talk to you about how discipleship is treasuring Jesus. If you want a concise definition of discipleship, it is treasuring Jesus and inviting someone to learn how to treasure Jesus with you. That's the road of discipleship that Jesus calls us to here in this passage. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, reading through the end of the chapter. Matthew writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit these words. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will reward each one according to what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, right here we see the call of Jesus to join him in this journey of the cross. And yet we see in this journey of the cross that life has turned him completely upside down. That to truly live is to die. That to truly go up, you go down. And if anyone wants to lead, you must serve. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that the only way to walk this cross-shaped road is to treasure Jesus above all things. And so, Lord, I pray that even as we are enduring this time of suffering as a nation, Lord, that you would help us to realize that Jesus, you are the ultimate treasure, and that you are worth the loss of all things if we must and might just gain Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that kind of heart surgery in our souls, that you would show us what it means to treasure Jesus above all things. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I want to talk to you today about is, first of all, walking through this passage. What does it mean to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus? But also, I want to frame this sermon around the life of someone who has meant so much to me. I never met this individual. They died before I was born, long before I was born, but it is a life that demonstrates what it means to follow Jesus, to treasure Jesus above all things. When you hear the name Borden, many of you may think of milk. You may have drank Borden milk when you were a child. Perhaps that was the name on the box of the milk that you got in school when you were growing up, or maybe that was the name that was on the carton when in your refrigerator when you were growing up, or maybe you have some familiarity with that particular company, that particular distributor of milk. But there is a story behind the name. There's an individual whose name is Bill Borden. And I want to frame our understanding of what it means to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus around this life of one who lived it so well for Jesus, that treasured Jesus above all things. In 1904, William Borden graduated from a Chicago high school, and he was heir to the Borden family fortune, and he was already wealthy. He graduated from high school at 16 years of age. And as a present for his graduation, his parents gave him a world tour. Pretty incredible graduation present, and an incredible graduation present for a 16-year-old. And so, as a 16-year-old, he traveled through Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. And as he traveled country by country by country, he felt a growing burden for the world's hurting people. And finally, at the end of his trip, at the end of his journey, he wrote in his journal and wrote home about his desire to be a missionary. He wanted to give his life for the cause of Christ among the nations, or wherever it would be that he would be sent in this world. One friend of his expressed disbelief that Bill was throwing himself away, throwing your life away as a missionary. You have so much potential. You have so much gifting. Why throw your life away in this? In response to these words, Bill wrote in his Bible two words: no reserves. And in two words, we have described what it means to treasure Jesus above all things. It means no reserves. He is worth anything that you could ever lose, anything that you could ever give up, any treasure in this world that you could ever deny. If you deny the whole world and gain Christ, you've gained everything. And so right there, no reserves. I love that phrase when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. Don't hold anything back. All in or nothing. And that is the kind of Christian life, in fact, the only Christian life that the Bible knows anything about, but the kind of Christian life that is described here in Matthew chapter 16, where in verse 24, Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So three aspects that I want you to see from this passage before we get back to the life of Bill Borden. Number one is this: treasure Jesus more than self. Amply illustrated in the life of Bill Borden, treasure Jesus above self. In this verse, Matthew, writing the words of Jesus, calls us to treasure Jesus above everything. And remember who it is who is writing these words. Who is it that is communicating this? It is Jesus, the one who, as has been demonstrated in the last few chapters of Matthew, has all authority in heaven and on earth. Think about the different aspects of his demonstration of his authority. Here is the one who has authority over nature. When he calms the storm, he gets into the boat, he walks on the water, he feeds people, creating matter in his hands, feeding 5,000 people, feeding 4,000 people, just creating matter. This is the one who has authority over the laws of the universe. This is the one who demonstrated that he has authority over sickness. He has authority over sickness and disease at just a simple word. Someone can be healed. Thousands would bring their sick to Jesus in those days, and he would heal them all. Just demonstrating his power over disease. Not only that, but Jesus has already demonstrated his power over death. When Jesus healed Jairus' daughter, he demonstrated that he has authority over death. Not only that, but he has authority over our mission, over our lives, demonstrated when he sent out the disciples on mission. Not only does he have authority over our lives, he has authority over the supernatural. At a word, he can speak and demons have to flee. How have you come to torment us? We know who you are. You are the Son of God. Demons scream at the presence of the all-powerful Savior. So here is the one with all authority in heaven and on earth. And not only that, in chapter 16, looking at the context of verse 24, we see that this is the chapter where Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ. Peter confesses that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he tells, after Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ, Jesus tells his disciples, let's not tell anybody about that yet. They think at that moment probably that he wants to be a political Messiah, and that day will come when he one day returns and set up his kingdom. But the first tyrannical ruler that he is going to overthrow is not Rome. He is going to overthrow the greatest tyrant of all time, and that is sin and death. That Jesus didn't come just to overthrow a government. Jesus came to overthrow the tyrant of Satan, the tyranny of sin and death in our lives. That's what Jesus says in verse 21. From that time forward, Jesus pointed out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day. That's the first cross mentioned in Matthew 16. But in Matthew 16 and verse 24, we have a second cross that is mentioned in this passage. Not only do we have the cross of Christ, by which he will be tortured in excruciating pain, bearing the wrath of God for our sin, but there's a second cross. And in verse 24, Jesus tells us about the disciples' cross. He calls us to this cross-shaped yoke to bear this cross, the cross of following Jesus, right alongside of him. He says to us, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now the disciples knew very well what he was talking about. At this point in time, it was not a metaphor. It was not something, oh, just take up your cross and follow Jesus, and you get to fill in the blank of what that cross is. Oh, no. When Jesus said those words, the disciples had seen thousands of people crucified. The Romans were expert executioners. There was a time when the roads in and out of Jerusalem were lined with insurrectionists, 1,000 of them crucified simultaneously. The disciples knew very well at eye level going in and out of the city. You would watch as you walked in, there would be people hanging on crosses. This was not a metaphor. This is Jesus saying, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. They knew that to follow Jesus meant death to self. It means losing everything if you might just gain Christ. Everything in this world pales in comparison to the all-surpassing value of knowing Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. He's not going to be your Savior or Lord. He will only be Savior and Lord. The Lordship of Christ and the cross of Christ, carrying this cross, is not optional super Christianity. It's just Christianity. It's just what Jesus said. What is this cross-shaped yoke of Christ like? What does it mean to treasure Jesus more than self? It means to treasure Jesus through self-denial. Letter A. Treasure Jesus through self-denial. It means you must deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? It means that you give up the right to decide what's best for you. It means that you give up the right to decide what's best for you. You give Jesus that right. It means, Jesus, if you say do it, I want to do it. And Jesus, if you say not to do it, I'm not going to do it. It's that blank check. You sign your name on the check and you give the check to Jesus and you say, here's my life, Lord. Lord, you write where to spend it and you write how much you want to spend. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to live, Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours. That is what it means to deny self. It means you take the crown off your own head and put it on Jesus' head. He becomes the king of your life. You're no longer the king of your life. You're queen of your life. You let Jesus be the ruler over your life. To deny yourself means Jesus takes the wheel. You take the controller. Jesus, I'm going to deny my sinful desires. By your power, by your grace, of course, we could never do it on our own. Certainly the cross-shaped yoke of Christ is an invitation to be saturated and filled with the Holy Spirit. But we deny ourselves so that there's room for the Spirit. There's room for the Spirit's control in our souls. We seek to strive to do the things that Jesus has called us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 says it like this, "And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." You know, we live in a world that talks all the time about self-fulfillment, not self-denial. It's all about you and all about doing what you want to do. In fact, self has become the god of this age. If you know, the god of this age is not the television. The god of this age is the person that so many people see in the mirror. Self-determining, self-ruling, self-governing, self-deciding, self-actualizing. What does this produce in our nation? It's produced a nation of narcissists. What is the production of a nation of narcissists? We are a nation full of broken homes, broken relationships, broken society, nobody getting along, everybody arguing, people yelling at each other on Facebook, nobody able to. Why? It's because it's me, 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 all the time. Into a me-centered culture, Jesus beckons us to a different kind of life, a Jesus-centered life, a God-centered life, a Christ sinner life that says, no, it's not about me. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross where your love poured down. And Jesus invites us not just to go to the cross, but to hang on that cross. Crucify yourself. Deny yourself. Let the self no longer rule. Get rid of the idol of self. What else does it mean to treasure Jesus above all things? Treasure Jesus more than self. Letter B, treasure Jesus through cross-bearing. Treasure Jesus through cross-bearing. Jesus goes on and he says we have to get rid of this idol, this mindset of self. And he says the only way to deal with it is not to injure your pride, it's to kill it. Jesus doesn't want to injure our pride. It has to be taken to the cross. The only place to deal with self and self-rule and self-actualization and the kingdom of self is at the cross, where we take the old self to the crucifixion. This would have been shocking to disciples, to his disciples. They've seen this, they know this, but we know in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we see that same image, that same picture coming up again in the life of Paul. He says this, "Here's my testimony, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." If you want life on the highest plane, if you want to know what it means to really live, it's not gaining your life, it's losing it for the sake of Christ. It's saying, "Jesus, here's my all. Jesus, here's everything. I yield it all to you. Take and do with me as you wish." It's that line, "Lord, as you wish, whatever you want." What does it mean to bear your cross? Bearing your cross is enduring any suffering you must endure because you are following Jesus. For some of you, it may mean ridicule for believing in the Bible. It may mean ridicule for trusting in Christ. It may mean that you persevere in very difficult circumstances because, you know, you are exactly where Christ would have you to be at this particular moment, even though it's very difficult, even though it's very painful. Even though it seems like the crowds around you, just like they jeered at Jesus, might be jeering at you at this particular moment in your life. Maybe even people wonder, why are you wasting your life? And yet all you see in front of you is Christ and Him crucified. And you know that because the cross leads to the resurrection, you know that it will also lead to the life of Jesus flowing through you. And you cannot beat the life of Jesus. It is the best kind of life. It is abundant life. It is the greatest kind of life. Maybe your cross is the mental and physical anguish that you must endure in order to say no to sin again and again and again. Saying no to sin is easy on the easy ones, right? There's some sins that you're not tempted with. But you know your particular sins. And you know your particular weaknesses, and you know how challenging and how painful and how enduring and how much suffering you must endure to say no to whatever that is and say yes to Jesus. And that is our cross-shaped yoke. That's what it means to go to the cross. Maybe your cross is that you have to say no to a promotion so that you can spend more time with your kids because you know those are your most important disciples and you cannot compromise time with them at this juncture in their lives. What is it? What is it, the cross, that you're required, you're called to bear? In Luke chapter 9, Jesus says how often we must take up the cross. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, take up the cross daily and follow me. It's a daily exercise. It's a daily thing. We take up a cross every day. Why? Because the kingdom of self likes to get back off of the cross. If you're anything like me, I wake up every day a selfish individual. I wake up every day needing once again to crucify the kingdom of self. That thing that Paul talks about as the sinful nature, as the fleshly nature, raising its ugly head once again. And once again, every day I need to remind myself, I'm crucified to the world and I live to Christ. And I live to Jesus. It's what it means to carry your cross every day. Every day you have a choice: self-worship or following Jesus down the road of Calvary, down the road of crucifixion. What does it mean to deny self and follow Jesus? It means to treasure Jesus through obedience. We're talking about relationship-based discipleship and obedience-based discipleship. It's denying yourself, taking up your cross daily, and following Jesus. Following Jesus means obedience. It simply means obedience. And in Matthew, denying yourself is an action that happens at one point in time. And taking up your cross is an action that happens at a point in time. But the word there that is used for follow me is a continual present. Wherever you are and whatever circumstance you are in, at any point of the day, you're called to follow Jesus continually. Take up your cross and follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Number two, treasure Jesus more than stuff. Treasure Jesus more than life. Treasure Jesus more than stuff. We live in a world of consumption. We live in a world where stuff tries to rule over our lives. After writing the words "no reserves" in the front of his Bible, Bill Borden headed off to the campus of Yale University. Yale University, even though he was very wealthy, he decided that he didn't want to flaunt his wealth at Yale, but he wanted to try to blend in with everybody else and just fit in with everybody else and just to look like a normal freshman. Very quickly, however, his classmates, the freshman class there at Yale University, realized that there was something unique, there was something special, there was something different about Bill. One of his classmates commented the following. He says, quote, "He came to college far ahead spiritually than any of us." 16 years old, 17 now. "He had already given his heart in full surrender to Christ and had really done it. We who were his classmates learned to lean on him and find in him a strength that was solid as a rock just because of this settled purpose and consecration. He was a consecrated man, focusing his life on Jesus. During his college years, Bill Borden made an entry in his personal journal that defined what his classmates were seeing in him. And he wrote the following in his journal. He said, "Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." Isn't that a good way to live? Isn't that just a great principle or motto that we should have for our lives? Say no to self and yes to Jesus every single time. Doesn't that really simplify a lot of decision making in life? No to self, yes to Jesus every time. While he was at Yale, his missionary call began to narrow to the Kansu people of the Muslim Kansu people in China. And he fixed his eyes on that goal, and he never wavered. "I am going to Asia." He challenged his classmates to consider missionary service, to follow Jesus by giving your life for foreign missions. Although he was a millionaire, Bill Borden seemed to realize that he always must be about his Father's business above any other pursuit in his life. When he graduated from Yale, he was given some high-paying job offers, but he knew his life was called to be spent on the mission field. So right next to those two words that he had written in his Bible, "no reserves," he wrote two more words, "no retreat." No reserves and no retreats. That's what it means to follow Jesus more than stuff. He had the treasures of this world, and yet he gave them all up to demonstrate what it means to follow Christ with your life. Bill Borden's life illustrates well what it means to treasure Jesus more than stuff. He had more stuff than most of us dream about, and yet he realized that life cannot be found in the abundance of your possessions. What is it? Profit a person to gain the whole world. Look at what Jesus says in verse 26. "For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his soul?" Look at verse 25. "For what whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it." The greatest things in life cannot be bought. The meaning of life cannot be purchased with dollars and cents. The meaning of life can only be found in your relationship with Jesus, in your relationship with Christ. To follow Jesus means you treasure Jesus above everything in this world. I love what Francis Chan once said. He said the following, "Our greatest fear should not be failure." Listen, our greatest fear should not be failure. But our greatest fear should be succeeding in the things that don't matter. Your greatest fear should not be failure. Your greatest fear should be succeeding in the things that don't really matter. Wouldn't that be terrifying to get to the end of your life and realize you lived it and it didn't count? You lived it and it didn't matter. The only way to make it matter is to live your life for Jesus, to give your life to Christ, to give your life to the one who loves you and gave himself for you. Let me challenge you today. Don't live for the things of this world. Just a few years ago, there were lines and lines and lines of scores of people fighting each other so that they could be the first to get the iPhone 6. You can't even give an iPhone 6 away today. It doesn't work. Can you see the pointlessness of it? Deny yourself. Treasure Jesus above stuff. He's worth so much more. Invest your life, invest your time, invest your money, invest yourselves in getting the gospel. Get the gospel to this community. Get the gospel to your friends. Get the gospel to your family. Get the gospel to your neighbors. Get the gospel to this world. We got to have our hearts broken again for the lost. The lost in our neighborhood. The lost in our world. The billions in Asia. The billions in the Muslim world. The billions in Africa. That are starving and dying and apart from Jesus. Jesus is worth the worship. And Jesus is worth the worship of your next door neighbor. He's worth the worship of the person that you pump iron next to in the gym. And he's worth the worship of every teenager in this town. And so we got to treasure Jesus more than stuff. Finally, treasure Jesus more than temporal significance. Treasure Jesus more than temporal significance. During his first semester at Yale, Borden started a small prayer group. He made it his goal to transform the campus, and that's exactly what God did through him. He started a prayer group, small prayer group, and that small prayer group gave birth to a movement that spread across campus. The way it worked is this, is they started a small prayer group. He trained up a few guys. And he says, now I want you to go and find somebody else and do what I just did. And they went and they found somebody else. And they met with those guys and gals for a while. And they trained them up. They shared the gospel with them and trained them up and sent them out to somebody else. By the end of his first year, Bill Borden had seen 150 freshmen that were meeting weekly for Bible study and prayer at Yale University. Isn't that stunning? At Yale University, and by the time Bill Borden was a senior, 1,000 out of Yale's 1,300 students were believers and were meeting in small groups. Is the power of one-to-one small group discipleship, treasuring Jesus above all things. The power of the one, meeting one, sharing with one. He made it his habit to seek out the students that were most hostile to the gospel. So he would meet in small groups, and they did it strategically. They said, give us all of the names. They got all the names of everybody on campus, and they said, who's going to go after this one? Who's going to go after this one? I'll do that one. Who's going to go after this one? I'll go to that one. Who's going to go after Scott? And they said, oh, he's really hard. Sorry, Scott. Oh, Scott, this guy will never come to Christ. Bill Borden says, put him down for me. And he took the hardest ones and says, that's the ones I want to share with. Borden's outreach ministry wasn't confined to the Yale campus, but he spent time even off campus. He ministered to widows. He ministered to orphans. He ministered to the homeless there near the campus. He rescued drunks from the streets of New Haven. He wanted to rehabilitate them, and so he founded the Yale Hope Mission. One of his friends wrote, quote, He often might be found in the lower parts of the city at night, on the street, in cheap lodging house, or some restaurant to which he had taken a poor, hungry fellow to feed him, seeking to lead men to Christ. Luke 9:26, it says this, forever is ashamed of me, and my words of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and his holy angels. And so my question for us tonight is, will we treasure Jesus more than temporal significance? Will we live our lives for the things that matter for eternity? The choice is clear. If you choose worldly significance, that's all you will have. Here today, puff of smoke in the wind, be gone tomorrow. Live for heavenly significance. Live for the things that matter. What is the thing that you can take with you into eternity? Not your stuff, but you can take people. You can take souls that you have impacted for the sake of Christ. That's what matters. That's what we are here for. You can know ahead of time what Jesus will say to you when you get to heaven's gates. Did you live for yourself? Did you indulge every desire that you had? Or did you live the cross-centered life? Did you live for Jesus? Is Jesus going to say, well done, I welcome you into my kingdom. Look at verse 27. He says there, "For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each one according to what he has done." Are you living your life for Jesus? Are you living your life for him? Devoting yourself to Christ above all things. In verse 28, we see that there are some who will be given a glimpse of that day even beforehand. It says there that there are some who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. When do I think that is going to happen? Come back next week and I'll tell you. Because I think it's in chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, when they go to the Mount of Transfiguration. I think they see the Son of Man in his glory. So don't miss out on that. Oh, next week we're going to take a look at Jesus. Oh, in his splendor and his majesty and his holiness. Oh, I love Jesus. Man. Be ready for that day. Treasure Jesus more than self. In the next chapter, we just get a glimpse of how worthy he is. He's worth it. He's worth your life. He's worth your devotion. He's worth everything. All in when it comes to Jesus. So how did Bill Borden, how did his life turn out? Well, he graduated from Yale and he actually went on to Princeton Seminary. It was a good seminary in that day in New Jersey. When he finished his study at Princeton, he sailed off for China. He sailed for China. And since he wanted to reach Muslims, he stopped over in Egypt to study Arabic. And while he was in Egypt at age 25, Bill Borden contracted spinal meningitis, and he died in Egypt. Actually never reached the mission field. Was it a wasted life? The news got back to the United States. What happened to Bill Borden? Almost carried by almost every American newspaper. You can actually see them online, the story. One newspaper said this, one of his biographers said this, "A wave of sorrow went round the world. Borden not only gave away his wealth, but himself, in a way so joyous and natural that it seemed a privilege rather than a sacrifice." Isn't that what it means to live for Jesus? Oh, but his story was picked up by college students all over this country. And the story of Bill Borden's sacrifice led to a missionary movement among college students in the early 1900s, where thousands of young people gave themselves for the cause of Christ among the nations and the world. It was not a life wasted, but it was a life God used, even in his death, to plant a seed that would spread the passion for Jesus in a whole generation. But his Bible was found. And in his Bible, there were two more words written next to the word "no reserves" and "no retreats." They were the words "no regrets." Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your words. And Lord, we thank you that this passage calls us to a life of, when it comes to our faith in Christ, of no reserves, no retreats, no regrets, all in. Take up our cross, denying ourselves, follow Jesus. Lord, I pray that, Lord, first of all, we thank you for lives such as Bill Borden, who devoted themselves in such incredible ways to the gospel, and such an encouragement, even more than 100 years later, an encouragement for us. And Lord, I pray for each of us that you would help us to examine our hearts, examine our lives, but help us to discern whether or not we are living for the kingdom of self or the kingdom of Christ. Lord, I pray that every day you would help us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow Jesus, to be filled with the life of Jesus, with the joy of Jesus. Lord, knowing that to be empty of self is to be full of God, to be full of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to love people like Jesus would, and care for people like Jesus would, and make disciples like Jesus would, and meet with small groups like Jesus would, and pass on our faith like Jesus would, and sacrifice like Jesus would. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up within our church and in our community people living like Jesus. And Lord, we know that people who live like Jesus see other people won to Christ, so that there are more people because of their lives that start living like Jesus. It's much more catching than COVID. And so, Lord, I pray that you would raise up within our church generations of people all in for Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who do not yet know you as Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help them to realize that salvation is by grace, that yes, you call us to carry our cross, but it's only because you've already carried the cross for us. The cross of sin, the cross where you paid for our sin's price and bore our burden to Calvary. So Lord, I pray that people would trust in you as Savior and Lord, that they would deny themselves, that we receive you as the greatest treasure, as their Lord and King and God. Lord, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to respond to you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.